The coins that you pay with are copper, nickel, and zinc. Silicon and oxygen make concrete bricks and...
Sorry, everyone. I don't know what happened there, but the computer seems to be playing two sets of music at the same time. Oh, you get it?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Marianne's got me.
I'm in the studio.
She's sorting it out. But what I... Oh, you figured it out. What... Sorry. By the way, everyone who's listening who hasn't heard my voice before, this is Georgia. I am hosting Kick-Arts tonight. And we are going to start the show with a song. This is the solo duo winner of Smoke-Free Rockfest from last year. Her name is Estella. She is based in Nelson and she is absolutely exquisite. She's a very talented young woman. She wrote the song herself. It's called Break the Silence. It's a good one. Here you go. Take two is working well. All right, we'll talk to you in a second.
Don't look at me. I can guarantee that you won't like what you see when you look closely. Self-obsessed, desperate to change, but it's always too weak. And once hope shined out from your eyes, but that light has died, and the fault is mine. I failed you time over time. Was bright, faded into endless night, and I wish I could fix it, go back and change its fate. But wishing is pointless, and it's all
just
That was Break the Silence by Estella, Nelson-based young artist. She's just in her last year of high school, so she's definitely one to look out for. If you want to follow her, you absolutely should. I think she actually is going to be releasing some music soon. Her Instagram tag is Estella Music, and you can find her online just her name, Estella, E-S-T-E-L-L-A. She is one of the Forever RockQuest winners. She won RockQuest last year as a solo duo participant, and we have just, we being RockQuest, I work for RockQuest, I am RockQuest.
You
I
are RockQuest. Your RockQuest. Email says RockQuest.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've just announced the top 10 on Friday, and they are absolutely so exciting, which is why when I came in, I was like, what song am I going to play? I'm, of course, going to play a RockQuest song.
That's
because
awesome.
I am so proud of last year's intake and this year's intake. They are so epic.
And they're all high schoolers, eh?
Like, they're still all high schoolers. Yeah. I'm going to send you an invite to come along to the national final so you can be as enthusiastic about it as I am.
Always up for free tickets. You know this.
Yeah. But honestly, like, these kids are so epic. Yeah. So they're going to be playing off on the 14th of September at the Bruce Mason Centre. And I would be hugely surprised if it didn't sell out. Because these kids are epic, and it's just going to be a great night. Balu Brigada are going to play too.
No way.
Yeah. And
I've played his music here before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be epic. Hey, we have such an exciting show tonight.
It's so hot in the studio.
It is so hot in the studio.
Like, literally and metaphorically.
Could you, Marianne,
validate me, Georgia? Come on.
So it's exciting because tonight you are co-host /
It's more your show, but I'm a guest, guys.
You're a guest.
Yeah.
Could you explain, firstly, why it's so hot in here?
Because Marwin is already pointing at himself. Guys, Marwin is across the room in the studio. We've got the whole cast of Panai with our director, James Roque, and it's super exciting. We'll probably get them to introduce themselves and who they play in the show, just so everyone can sort of get amongst.
What is Panai?
Panai is an amazing show, a groundbreaking show. The show to see this coming August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show that I wrote. I'm the reason for all of this chaos and greatness. And, yeah.
And, well, we definitely want to get into, at some point soon, why you wrote it, how you wrote it, all about your journey. But it would be nice to introduce everybody first.
Yeah.
Do we want to start in this corner? If you just want to say who you are, who you play, and something you like about it.
Tēnā tātou e te whānau, ko Matthew Hamwira tēnei. My name is Matthew Hamwira, and in Panai, I play Tane, the best friend of the main character, Alex. I love the play, mainly because the cast, they're awesome to work with, and the incredible director who's sitting across from me, giving me the eye.
Yeah, well, we send you the invoice in the morning for that little shout-out, my man.
Shameless plugs. But, yes, it's great. And I'll let the rest of the cast introduce themselves.
¿Cómo están? My name is Marwin Salerio. I play Koya Roberto. One thing I like about the play is that I get to hang out with some Filipino friends. I've never had any, so it's great to have some new friends here.
Or just friends in general.
Magandang gabi. Ako po si Richard. I'm Richard, and I'm playing the role of Ronaldo, the father of the main character, Alex. I like the play because I can really relate to it. It's just like being home in the Philippines and bringing Philippines here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Lucas. I play Seth, who is the friend and boyfriend of the main character, Alex.
Wait,
what? Spoilers. And one thing, what I really like about doing this show is that I've known Marianne for a while since we did drama school together, and it's very, very cool to be a part of her debut as a writer.
Kia ora, my name is James. I am the director of Panai, and I'm super excited to put the show on because I believe this is the first bilingual Filipino/Kiwi play that's being put on at this scale in New Zealand ever. So I think it's quite historical, and it's super exciting too. I will get into it later, but I feel like there are reasons why it's extra special. Yeah.
Magandang gabi or good evening. I'm Donna. I'm playing Alex's mother, the antagonist, maybe.
I mean, you're the light of my life. Yeah. But yeah. Who do you play?
I play Mariella, the mom. I love the show. I love how it is written and for whom it is written. And it is dedicated to all the children of, I mean, maybe second generation Filipino migrants or immigrants in New Zealand. And I'm very excited to working with Filipino artists in New Zealand. Kiwi, how do you say it? Kiwi noise? Kiwi? Kiwi Filipino artists here in New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. My name, okay, Georgia, this is actually something I haven't talked to you about. Mm-hmm. So everyone who's been listening to Kakatsu for like the last however many months. So I, for a long time, for a very long time, since 2006, I've gone by Marianne. But my name is actually pronounced Marian or Marian. So, yo, my name is Marian Infante. I play Alex in Pinay, and I love myself. I love...
No joke.
I do. It's real, yeah. No, I love this play more because it comes from my place of honesty and a place of observation, and it's sort of honor... It's not sort of. It's definitely honoring my experiences and the people that have touched my life and formed my... my upbringing, essentially, and it's been even more of a joy because I've got these clowns to play with every time, and and for them to just bring life to my characters. They're all saying such nice things about me because I'm in the room. But no.
All right, now once more around, but Marianne leaves the room.
Yeah. But no, it's been a joy. Like, this is the laughs in the rehearsal rooms have always been quite genuine. Lots of silliness, and yeah, it's like a real family.
How does it feel that it's? Because we have been talking about this. I feel like for a long time,
forever.
Yeah, and it's so exciting that it's like. I feel really excited that it's actually happening. How are you feeling about it?
I mean, it hasn't really hit me yet. I think I mean, I know that the show was in like 9 days, like, yeah, in a week. And I'm nervous, but I think it's more because I know, like, I still need to sharpen my lines, James. Thank you.
I didn't say anything.
I know, but I'm saying it for you. But it's... I think once we are packing in at the basement theatre, then I'll have all the jitters and the butterflies and the shits. I don't know. All of the above. But it's super, super exciting. And I think it wouldn't be what it is now, what a joy it is now, if it wasn't for this group of people, as well as the people behind the performers, which are our amazing crew. Proudly Asian Theatre, Nyon, Elisa, our set designer, Poppy. I'm just naming everyone now. And we've got Mark Konako, who designed the poster. We've got Paul Bennett, who's doing the lighting. Nikita Tu Bryant, who was in here. I don't know if you remember Tide Waits for No Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's helping me with my music alongside Nikki Wahnite, who's actually in Seoul, Korea. So she's, like, working remotely and helping us out. But, yeah, there's a massive...
Got Rhiannon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Rhiannon, I love you so much.
She's doing costume.
Rhiannon's our beautiful wardrobe.
Can't shout everyone out and then leave Rhiannon out.
It's, guys, okay.
That's a lot of people. Though.
I know. It's a community, group. Man. A community telling a community story.
I feel like that's what makes it extra exciting for me is that this is literally like the Avengers of Filipino creatives in the theater industry in Auckland. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's only a handful of us and we've kind of like arranged ourselves to make the show, and I think that is this would only have been a dream, like, when I first started in the industry and when I went to drama school in 2010, there was no one, there was like me and one other person, but to have like an entire show that is with the crew and cast of predominantly Filipino, I think that's amazing.
So how did everybody get involved? At what stages have people gotten
so involved? Like what James is saying, the Avengers needed Filipinos, and we all jokes.
There's a Filipino Nick Fury with a blind with an eye patch that went around to every Pinoy restaurant in Auckland, and they're like, the Pinoy initiative.
Yeah. I mean, if how we all came together, I don't know how far back you want to go. I mean, for me, I had to find Proudly Asian Theatre first before this whole thing could have come about. When I graduated at, when I was graduating in 2016 at Unitech, I was really disheartened and also motivated to be a part of something bigger than myself. Mm. And I was very much fueled by the fact that there was no representation for the Filipino community. And I knew that I was never going to be cast in something that was written for me. So I was like, well, I got to make that happen, but I got to find the people. Mm-hmm. And the only other Filipino I could think of was James Roque and Marwin Celerio. And James is like the Filipino superhero, I guess, in my industry, especially when I was coming out. And I did everything in my power to be best friends with the two co-founders of Proud Asian Theatre.
Yeah, there were a lot of DMs. I was like, yeah, who is this?
Oh, shit.
Yo, ignore message.
Left on scene, nah, jokes. Actually, and then it just turned out that I became really tight and good friends with Chai Ling first, and then James was just kind of on the side.
That's super cool. I didn't actually realise that you were involved in Proudly Asian Theatre as well, James.
Yeah.
So I co-founded it with Chai Ling. It's only because we for the same reason that you were saying, Marianne, that we were watching the industry while we were in drama school, and we went, hold on, there's nothing here for us when we leave drama school, and it's going to be up to us to do something about it and to make sure that we connect all the few people that are there, to connect them together, to empower them to be able to make things. Mm-hmm. And if we, like I said, that was 7 years ago. And so 7 years later, we've now got a network of people where we can connect up together and put shows like this on. Mm. And honestly, it's just watching it all kind of play out. It's been, yeah. It started as a tiny little thought that we and Chai Ling and I sort of mind, but now it's kind of become its own little thing. And now we've been able to fold in other actors that trained with us, like Marwin and Lucas, or both went to Unitech, and now we're able to employ and actually put on shows with these people and, kind of help the industry stay afloat in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Make it more kind of self-sustaining.
Yeah, and I think, like Marlon, you'd be able to speak to this as well. I don't know what it was like for you when you were at drama school, looking out beyond it. What were you expecting?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I got into the acting gig because it was a sport for me, right? It was just something that I enjoyed doing. And then I met up with James and Chai, and they just offered me all these opportunities and exposed me to questions and conversations that I've never even had before. So it's been a whirlwind of a ride, and it's been real fun. And to be able to be a part of this play and also explore Filipino tradition and also ask myself and confront myself questions about where I'm from has been a really, fulfilling task and experience.
Mm. I mean, and also when we got closer to the time that, Chai Ling she's given me a deadline to make the story happen, get my first draft through, slid the script under James's door, be like, hey, can you please...
Message ignore.
And then, it was like, you hold on to the people that are close to you that you know will... that you can trust with your child, essentially. Mm-hmm. This show was very much, a baby of mine, and I wanted to include people who will... help me, let the work grow and not just it be a project that is just mine, because I very much, I enjoy collaborating, and I'm very, very privileged and lucky to have this group of people who are all very sincere, gentle, but as well as outspoken, and they've just, my show has developed in ways I couldn't even... that I couldn't do on my own.
Well, I think as well, in saying that, it's being able to fold other voices in the room as well. So I think what was exciting for me, like I said, is wanting to grow the sort of Proudly Asian Theatre, the Pat brand, and kind of involving even more people, like, was I knew that there were characters in here that were older Filipino characters, and in my head I was like, that's going to be a challenge. Who do we get for that? Because I knew that there were a lot of young 1.5 generation Filipinos going to drama school, going against their parents' wishes of, like, asking them to be a nurse and doing drama instead. But I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to find, we were going to be able to find a different generation of Filipinos, and I was so stoked that we found Queer Richard and Ate Donna, because I think they really embody the role. Do you know what I mean?
Ate Donna, do you know how I found you? Do you know what I did to find you?
I think I was recommended by Jamishka.
Do you know how I found Jamishka? It was like years of seeding in this thought, like, because I was like, I'm going to write this thing in 2016, but I didn't go pen to paper till last year, May. But I was like messaging people. I was like, yo, I need like a late 20s, early mid 30s, or like even 40s. I just wanted someone who was like not in specifically my age range, and like I need a Filipina. Like I can't have anyone else play. And then yeah, Jamishka Shetty, shout out to your girlfriend. I was like, does anyone know? She was like, oh, actually, there's this lady called Donna. And I was like, I need a last name. And I like hunted you down and slid into your DMs quite literally.
And so she did. Just a lot of Marianne sliding into people's DMs.
It was a lot of me. Just
super brave, though.
Mate.
When you don't know what someone's response is going to be, and you've got an expectation and hope for something that's super important to you, sliding into people's DMs, it's a brave thing to do.
Mate, it gets me work. Not so much boyfriends, but it gets me work. And also,
it would if you actually did it for the boyfriend thing. Or usually it works.
It's a numbers game.
Too right.
Yeah. It's quantity, man. You just gotta.
Y'all gotta teach me, because I'm very married to my career. I don't know how to. James, you know this. I don't know. Flirt game is not.
I literally got my girlfriend right now because I slid into her DMs. Yeah.
Hey, Esther.
Shout out to Esther Fawn. You know what I'm saying?
Had you met her already?
She'd say yes, but I didn't remember, and she got mad at me. I was like, hey, who are you? You're someone's
true
girlfriend.
Love, right?
Yeah, and then she's like, we met before, you jerk.
I actually had one of those situations just this week.
Yeah.
With someone that I went on a date on, and we realized that we'd actually dated before.
You dated before?
Yeah.
Man.
Sus.
But honestly.
And it's actually, I'm so like glad you finally remembered our time together. But I'm staring back to, like, I think the conversation with Ate Donna and stuff. because I go, like, the sliding into DMs thing. Like, what did you think when Marianne messaged you?
Yeah, lay it out on the floor. It's all right, I can't fire you. The show's in a week.
I really couldn't remember how you approached me.
I was just like, hi, I'm doing the show. I actually asked her for coffee, remember?
Yeah, that I remember. Coffee is my thing, so
I shouted her coffee. And you know what? I was so grateful, because I was like, it's either this person or I just have to, like, put my show in the back burner until I find the right person. Then even when I spoke to Ate Donna, I was like, tell me about how you got here. Like, what's your story? I'm sort of talking about a non-conventional, you know, conversation around Filipino migrants, and talking about and towards our views, different views in Catholicism, and, you know, being a little bit more rebellious and liberal. And I was so worried. I was just like, I don't know if you knew this, but I was really nervous because I wanted to put up a good face. I was like, I want this Filipino woman to like me. And it turned out we were essentially the same person.
Yes.
But she was like just a few years ahead of me. Yeah. And then I was like, I'll send you the script and you tell me what you think. And I was like, literally, I was just beside myself. I was like, I don't know, how long do you wait for someone to read your script till you ask, do you want to work with me?
How long do you wait?
I don't know. How long did I wait?
I couldn't remember, honestly.
Obviously.
I just remember that we just clicked.
Yeah, we did.
It was an hour coffee, I think, meeting. And then it just went to 2 hours. To
it's real
hours.
Romance.
And yeah. Then went to nostalgia.
Yeah. And everyone, I sort of have like the same sort of experience with everyone. I mean, James is obviously like way back. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be that guy's friend. Got to stick with our Philip. Like,
still trying.
Guys, I just paid for his dinner as well, and I'm still not winning. And yeah, same with Machu. Let's yarn about our love story.
Yeah, I believe that it was the same. You slid into my DM.
Oh my god, I'm such a...
Is that actually? Is that for real?
Yeah, that's for real.
You want to get something happening?
No, no, I agree. I have the same mentality. I'm like, if you don't put your hand up to say, like, it's not going to happen.
The worst I could literally get was a no, which I often get from boys. So I'm like, you know what?
So what went down?
Well, it was actually like a year after we had met and we had worked on...
We haven't spoken at all.
No, we had not
outside
spoken.
Outside of that festival.
She was the stage manager in a show I was part of, and then...
Give him a shout-out. Tempo Dance Festival,
Dance Festival last year.
That's on again this year, right?
That's on again this year, Tempo Dance Festival, October at Q Theatre. And
get your plug in, boy.
Yeah, and I was dancing for Atamita Dance Company and Jack Gray's work, Kotahi. And Marianne hit me up in the DMs a few months later and was like, hey, what are you up to this year? Working on a show? I'm like, yes, I'm so keen. Mm. And I'm a dancer by trade, so this was my first...
This is your acting debut.
Yeah, this is my acting debut in Penai. So I've workshopped plays before and done play readings, but this is my first opportunity to get actually on stage.
Have you always wanted to?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Sure. You're welcome.
I mean, I followed dance as a passion and trained in it, but was always really into theatre and screen work as well. So, yeah.
And you know what it is? I mean, I think in terms of a conversation of how people work in the industry, regardless of whatever corner or sector you're in, it literally, what attracted me the most to Machu was his, like, energy. He was so nice. His energy was so, like, vibrant, like, literally. And he was just this amazing, beautiful dancer that could cut shapes and literally was playing the guitar and singing on stage. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I want this guy to be like my best friend. I was like, and guys, I know I have enough friends, but if I want to add you on my friends list, I'm like, I'm going to do whatever I can.
Yeah, now I'm on speed dial.
Yeah. He didn't leave me on scene. But yeah, and it's been such a joy.
How are you finding it?
I'm finding it absolutely incredible.
Like acting and
Yeah, the acting part of it, the process of actually breaking down a play and blocking it and everything, I've never done before. So the whole process to me has been a huge learning experience, but it's been awesome because it's just been fun the whole time. And challenging, but just so much fun. And to work with a new group of artists, you know, who are breaking boundaries really is so cool. And for me, I am really into my own culture. So to now put myself into learning about other cultures is really cool to see the similarities, the differences. But in this play in particular, and you're right, it's quite history, you know, it's groundbreaking. It's the first Filipino Kiwi play. It's really cool because there's actually so many similarities in the cultures of Filipino and Maori culture here in Aotearoa. So,
And you know what? Being in the room, in the rehearsal room with you, I would never pick up that this your first time working on the floor
because
you're so open. Like honestly, Georgia. Like he just like you say you know James would just throw like a provocation or like we'll just start stretching or do random things and he's just like the first one to do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that, I don't know, maybe comes from my dance training.
Yeah, well, that's
really rigorous.
That's what I was thinking. Is that like, what do you find is the difference between the two practices? Like, do you have to shift like a certain thing in your head to be like, all right, do you know what I mean? Like, how does it differ creatively when you approach it?
I think the one thing that I can point out for myself is just learning lines. Like, it's otherwise the processes are all the same. Like, when we make dance, we always have like a discussion on what is it we're dancing, what is this intention, what is the, how do we breathe through this, what are we trying to say, what's the overall arc, you know? So it's all similar patterns and techniques of performance, but we're just putting it in a different light. And I think I find it quite some of the tasks really simple because I'm embodying it and I'm like really in my body. So especially when it comes to like taking notes down, I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, I want to feel this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be in this space. And
because I did notice that the other day on the floor when we were working is I was looking for a way to give you a note and I wasn't sure what the best way was to do it. But I found that when I gave you the note to be like, your physicality is like this. You just switched it on and you just knew. Yeah. I was like, all right, sweet. This is a dancer for real. Like, this guy's like, if you put his body right, it will kind of, everything will follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super interesting because I feel like because we come from theater backgrounds and so we're like very much like connection with the other person or like
I
what's your objective?
I started as a dancer, but whatever.
Do you actually?
I see that.
Yeah, girl.
I didn't know that.
Well, Georgia, you should slide into my DMs and you'll know. Yeah, no, I trained as a dancer before I focus on drama. Yep, that's that.
That's really interesting because I feel like we all have quite diverse, different backgrounds around them. Like, and I think Queer Richard, you have probably the most different one to all of us in here. Your background is different.
Tell everyone how we found you, Huya.
Yeah, James was mentioning earlier about finding difficulty in looking for older actors, and he was looking at me.
you look so young.
Yeah, no, genuinely, we say older, but every comment we get is like, that guy doesn't look that old.
I may admit that I'm the oldest here, but...
He's not going to disclose how.
100%, I'm the youngest in terms of staying in New Zealand.
Yeah, for sure.
I just arrived last year, so how did I find about
it's fresh
the
here.
A friend actually tagged me in a Facebook post about the audition thing. I said I'll give it a try, and then I auditioned. Yeah, that's how I met James and Marianne.
What's your background?
Read
your CV out loud.
Wait, it's okay.
Before coming to New Zealand, I had been a practicing lawyer in the Philippines for 13 years. But arts has always been a passion of me. Since I was in the elementary years, high school years, I had been joining singing contest, dance contest, musical theater. Yeah, so actually, most of my friends know me as an artist rather than a lawyer. So when I passed the bar,
Troy Bolton from High School Musical, but a lawyer.
You're actually surprised.
Get your head in the game, but you're in a courtroom. You're like,
So I was glad that there was this opportunity for me to actually explore again another opportunity in the arts here in New Zealand. And yeah, I'm so proud to be part of this group.
It's been great to have you, I think. And I think, same with, because I think we always talk about like Filipinos and stuff, but I feel like, I don't know, it's super exciting to have like Matthew and Lucas and to be able to fold them into Filipino culture as well. Like, we literally just came from a Filipino restaurant like an hour ago. We all ate too much, and now that's why we kind of sound sleepy.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm ready.
Same, man.
I'm so full of ice cream.
How are you finding learning about the culture, Lucas? What's your jam?
It's like super fucking interesting. Like, really, like...
Wait, like it's up, what do you mean?
He ticked over 8:30, he's like, bang, I got the license.
One of the things that I'm really enjoying the most is the language. The show is a fairly it's a split between Tagalog and English. So there's like vast sections of the script that I have no idea what anyone is saying, which is really, really fascinating, and trying to like pick up as much as I can. And it informs the character a lot because Seth is folding him in the same way that I am in this process, is folding himself into this Filipino family and is learning as much as he can the whole time, in order to like, you know, better get on with his girlfriend's family. It's art imitating life for me at the moment.
Do you want to tell people how you just ate a whole dinner with your hands?
Oh my god. Well, I had a separate meal because I'm vegan, and so I had like the vegan kari kari.
Yeah.
So it was very soupy. So I was kind of
what a sauce.
It was rice and a very, very liquid experience.
Yeah. We don't usually eat the soupy, saucy things with your hands, eh?
I do.
I mean, you do as well, but you don't soak it hard out as much as I don't.
I just pick up the plate and I'm like, slurping.
Now you tell me.
You got to balance it out.
But Lucas wasn't eating on a plate. We were eating on banana leaves, like the real deal.
Yeah. It was we kind of took them to the most OG Filipino experience.
Gold Ribbon, guys. Glen Eden.
Shout out to Gold Ribbon.
should have said this before so we got sponsorship, but so it's like laying out a banana leaf on a giant table, and they just, it's called a Buddha fight, and what they do is you just lay out all the food in front of you and you just eat with your hands, and everyone just like shares the whole thing.
Well, I don't know about sharing. Marwin wasn't sharing.
Yeah.
It's taken over my side of the...
It's too much food, but because there's all Filipino food, it's just meat and rice. Mm. You can't really have a lot of that. Yeah. Lucas is a vegan. So
we're just showing off to Lucas while we munch and chew really
well. Actually, I don't know. I think Lucas won because Lucas looks like he's fine and we all look like we're about like an hour into a binge.
It's very gram-worthy, I must say.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, eh? Experience.
I just saw a photo and it looks so delicious.
Mate.
For our Kit Kat's Christmas gathering this year, we should do that. But we should also think of an excuse to do it before that, too. Christmas is quite far away.
Sunday is always a good excuse.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
Sunday.
Sign me up for next Sunday.
It's definitely something you don't want to do weekly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's something you also is good to eat with, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because if it was just me and you, Georgia, we wouldn't need a fight. Like, we would just be like, here.
It's got boodle share.
It's just like we're just sharing. It's not as... And it's funny because, I mean, I'm going to radio mom as I do every week. But, you know, you got to have your elbows out so you have your territory. Like, you know, you got to spread your legs so you know no one comes into your... Because if not, people like Marwin would just jump in there.
Yeah, he had an advantage because he has muscles.
Yeah.
A lot of
being
muscles.
Being an actor and a PT has its advantages.
I genuinely thought it wasn't going to be enough food until I was like...
He was the first one to take
it. I put my white flag up first.
Yeah, you guys can't tell. He's got his shirt off right now. He's got his shirt on.
We'll put a photo on though.
It's not comfortable, you know?
Just carrying on though in that conversation about how I found these people, I've always had Marwin in my head when I was writing Call Your Rob. Don't feel too special, but it's because... Yes, it's also because I've seen him perform, so I trust his training. And at the same time, there was no one else. I was like, other than you and James. And James was like, no, I don't act anymore.
I didn't say that.
Well, you didn't reply to me, so I don't know what you would have said.
That's the same
thing. But, you know...
I will say that you guys, your brother-sister dynamic... in real life is already strong. That's why I think it works.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
No, genuinely. You guys are I have to like wrangle you guys. I think I have to be like the most to you.
So true. That's so true. I find that most of the work that me and Marianne do is outside of the lines already. It's completely based on the dynamics. I remember one time rehearsals, you asked us, what is your objectives for this rehearsal? And Marianne said, to not get distracted by Mao. And I was like, yes. Dynamic is there.
He's a little shit.
I do it for the play.
It's method. I'm Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Brother, sister, spats.
Well, no. It's always just like lols and fun and games. We'll hit each other every now and then. And like pull each other on each other's crap, but...
We just troll each other the whole 4 hours, really.
There was actually, I'll share this on air. Chai Ling asked me after the first week of rehearsal, he was like, what's the vibe like in the rehearsal room? Is it like quite professional? Is it quite serious? And I looked at Chai Ling and I was like, Marwin's in the room. And she was like, oh, that's right. I forgot Marwin's in the cast. And she just like laughed and I was like, yeah, man, it's a fun time. It's just genuine laughs. And there hasn't been a rehearsal where it was like quiet. And like
one more week
one more week.
Don't count your eggs before the hatch.
Everyone's just gonna stare at each other trying to like squeeze the lines out, but no, it's been great. And Lucas has been, I suppose, I mean, I was genuinely surprised that I didn't know you were auditioning, Lucas. I was very surprised.
She was like, I would have said no. Had I known.
I was going to say, I'm glad, Kia Richard, that you also auditioned, because I was like, am I the only person who didn't get, like, a slide into the DM? I auditioned for this like a schmuck.
To come in here with a headshot.
No, Lucas and I have, like Lucas said earlier in the show, like, we've known each other for a really long time, and Lucas was actually there for, like, when I was thinking, when it was being seeded to me that I needed to make this work. Lucas was there when I was doing an assessment for, was it voice class in drama and unity?
You guys were in the same class, right?
Yeah, we were in the same year. Yeah.
What is voice class? Sorry.
Where you, like, hum and, like,
there's a whole class on that.
Yeah. It's how to use your voice.
Voice, body, and then, you know, all the other actor stuff.
Movement.
voice and movement.
Super cool.
Well, you know, Georgia, this is our body. This, I'm, like, people don't know. I'm pointing at my body. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's like, this is our instrument. You know, like, we don't, I mean, Lucas also plays, like, guitar and all. He's very talented.
He's a musician. He's
well
done.
He's
doing very well for himself.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, we get used to, you know, how do you project? How do you say a Shakespeare line in one breath? How do you, you know, you can't, I mean, some people probably can just wing it, but, you know, we paid Unitech to teach us to do
it. There is something to be said about, like, learning the craft and the technique, so you have that in the back pocket, you know what I mean? So I think, yeah.
And this isn't the first time Lucas and I have played, like, romantic characters. And it was so funny because James was like, hey, I really like you and Lucas's vibe when we were figuring out. I was just like, oh, no offense, Lucas. I was like, oh, my
legit
God.
Legit the reaction. I was like, man, you guys had good chemistry. When we were like, I was going through, you know, when people audition and you have everyone's headshots on the table and you're kind of looking at it like Real Housewives. Like, you're like... Yeah, I was like, man, you guys had good chemistry. And then she's and like, rolled her eyes. And I was like, what's wrong? Do you not like him? And she's like, no, I like him. But we always just see it cast as like a couple.
I was just like, I know we have chemistry. I know. We've done this roller coaster before.
Yeah, there's a great photo of us as the princess. Prince and princess from The Winter's Tale.
Mm.
For the front of the acting program at the Unitech, the brochures.
Yeah, we're famous.
Yeah.
For the the brochure worldwide.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
This always.
It's like Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, they do.
You know how they do like heaps of, you know, I don't really like either of them separately, but together I will go and see that film.
I will not have you trash Drew Barrymore in front of me.
Okay, Adam Sandler, not so crazy on Drew Barrymore.
90s Adam Sandler. Wedding singer Adam Sandler, anyone?
Yeah, well, what every film that they're in together. Do you follow her on Instagram? I'd recommend it.
I do.
That's real cute.
What does she do? What's her post like?
She mainly talks
just
about...
Just rolling,
like,
in my money.
She mainly talks about her... she's got, like, this, like, beauty line, which doesn't interest me so much, but I just love the way she talks about it. She's just so real.
Yeah.
Yeah, she seems like so a down-to-earth.
I don't know. I like how
celeb.
Her mouth is kind of lopsided.
That sounds like a stroke.
That.
Hey.
I kind of like how her mouth is lopsided and then half her body can't move. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's a fun thing.
Hey.
Okay, that's probably a good place to. All right, we're halfway through the show, so let's have a little break. Let's play a little song or two. Everybody can go get out of this room because it's very warm in here. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about how the play came to be. What is it about?
The actual show.
Yeah, what's it inspired by? What's the process?
My goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I don't think we have enough time.
I thought about this on the way when I was thinking about what are we going to play. And then I was like, I'm going to play this song.
Is it The Greatest Love of All by Celine Dion?
No, it's The Greatest by 660.
Oh, my God. You know I love this
because
song.
Because I know that you love 660.
I do.
It's going out to you.
Roots is... I was listening to Roots like over and over again when I was writing my play.
Would you prefer for us to listen to Roots? Maybe we could do The Greatest and then Roots.
Yeah.
We'll
go out with Roots or something.
Never in my life did I think that I would play some double 660. But I am doing it.
You're doing it for me.
And I feel good about it.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So this is Greatest.
I know the taste of my tears when they run down my face, yeah. Reminds me of all of the years and the dreams I've been chasing. Fueling the fire inside so the fears I can face. Cause mama never told me nothing about being complacent. So you can knock me down, but I won't stay on the ground. Until I know I made it, I'll never know what second place is. No pain, no doubt, till the lights go out. Just a little more makes it worth it all. When I hear the call, will I rise or fall? I know all my roads lead to something gold. So I will walk them all, I will walk them all. You can knock me down, but I won't stay on the ground. Can't stop believing I'm the greatest. Heart's breaking
like I don't want to go any farther. The only way I know to keep on is keep pushing harder. Can't stop believing I'm the greatest. Hearts breaking till I know I made it. I'll never know what second place is. No pain, no doubt. Lights go out.
Don't Forget Your Roots by 660, a song which you just said you listened to on repeat while you were writing the script.
I have different moments, and I could only ever write after midnight. Like, I would try to write like during the day, but it was always I felt so much better having a moi, like just sleeping in the afternoon than actually writing.
Okay.
But I had like a playlist of, and on my Spotify, you probably see it. I called it Filipino Memories. Oh, you're going to laugh at me, Georgia.
Nah, this is so cool.
Yeah. So like, and I would listen to it, and it's all like really solemn, melancholy, but also like love story, Filipino songs. And then other thing would be, I would just have 660's album on like repeat, and then I'll just constantly stay on roots just to like listen to it. Cause you know, it reminds me of home and like knowing where you came from and being proud of that. And it was just such an uplifting song.
I do think there is like power in like writing, when you're writing something, having a soundtrack to it, whatever you're writing. Cause I feel like that, I don't know, music has a way of like digging deep, like like roots into your mind, and it takes you there immediately. Mm-hmm. You know,
and most of these songs are songs that I would that I used when I was very little. Like karaoke culture is very big in the Filipino community, and most of these songs, like Regine Velasquez, Pangako, Isang Lahi, these are all songs I sang or learned to sing with my mom on karaoke, and I would just belt them, and it would just bring me back, you know, to when my mom would, like, I would be sitting on my mom's lap, and she would just share the microphone, and I would pretend I could read the words as the colors were going past, but I would just sing, and the very first song I ever learned to sing, like, fully, with, like, I memorized all the lyrics, was My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Banger.
Yeah.
I would slay that song.
Celine went in on that song.
Yeah.
She went hard
like
on
that. That was like 95. Yeah. I was born. Celine was like, this is for Maria. And I was like, mean.
I think my version of that is the Carpenters' Best Of soundtrack.
Wait.
That reminds me of the sitting in the back of my dad's car when we first migrated to New Zealand. It was like a crappy Honda. And we'd just wait for my mum, to finish her shift at the rest home. And and he'd put that on. And I just, to this day, if I'm sad, I'll listen to that album. Just all of it.
Green
Superstar,
Top of the World.
Yesterday, Once More. All that.
Okay, let's go.
Touch Me When You're Dancing, you know what I'm saying? I Can't Live Last a Day Without You. You know what I'm saying?
Georgia, what's all your go-to karaoke song? We're going to go through everyone, I reckon. I want to know everyone.
So I recently, the story's not very cool, but I'm going to be honest. I recently discovered what my go-to karaoke song is, because I'm a terrible singer, but I really, really love Charlie. Have you been to Charlie's on K Road?
Yes, I have, actually.
Bar. It's amazing. You have to go. It's the best place. It gets
plugging
like,
them.
Is that the kind of Western one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Saloon Bar, the other one.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking of another one.
It's like the kind of real terrible one. Like, it's wallpaper on the walls.
This
that
is
are
not
like,
a good
like,
plug.
It's like bricks. People.
It's got a stage,
like,
yeah.
It's so... No, it hasn't got a stage.
Okay, I'm thinking
it's
of the Saloon one.
Yeah, you're thinking of Saloon. No, this place doesn't have a stage. They just pass around a microphone, and there's like people playing pool, there's like people on the pokies. It's the number one place that you know that if you're all out and you don't want to send someone home, but they're too drunk to get in anywhere else, you know you're going to get into Charlie's.
Love a low bar.
They're super, super relaxed. And there's always just like a really diverse group of people in there, and there's just some terrible songs and some great songs. I love this place.
What's your go-to song?
Oh, yeah. So I've never sung a song there apart from the other day I hadn't eaten dinner.
Oh my God,
and I went
wheels?
And had some craft beers that were quite a lot stronger than I expected them to be. And I was so drunk. And I went to Charlie's.
I can't wait to know what it is.
And I sung a song.
Oh my
Turns
God.
Out my go-to karaoke song is a Sixpence None the Richer Kiss Me.
Wow.
It's not an easy song
That's
to
a
sing.
Deep cut.
It's not an easy song to sing.
Yo, how does that go? No, just like, how does it? I'm trying to think. No. After Donna, you seem to know what it is as well.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
You know
I know that confidently.
Can you hum it into the thing?
Lucas is a singer. Let's go.
Goes like that. And then I spew.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Not this.
Is it the moon like, and then I spew. Oh, for two
with your
and a half
open
hours.
Hands.
Oh, that is an ambitious song.
Sparkling.
Machi, what's yours?
Nice.
My go-to, I think, is Cruisin'.
Yo,
Jay. I don't know that song.
Cruisin' together.
But I will happily
music
do it.
James just singing.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Cruisin' is made for us. Yep. Do you just do both parts?
Yep.
Do you like different voices for like?
Yeah, yeah. Like I'll go to the higher octave.
Do you turn? Like, do you go one side and then the next side?
Like, just yeah.
Hey, best love story
and
ever.
At the end, you turn around and you do that.
Just hugging myself.
Hug yourself. What about you, Marwan? What's your go-to?
When you say nothing at all by Ronan Keating. That hits by my parents, man. That was the jam.
That's some banger. Yo, let's actually want to go karaoke.
Queer Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Before Queer Richard speaks, Queer is like, I've seen him perform in a singing contest before, and he slays the
stage.
Yeah,
he goes in it.
Like, Gintong Tinik, he should have won. Just saying. Whoever's listening to me, he should have won. But anyway, Kuya, what's your go-to? Ate Donna's blushing for you.
I'm more into OPM song, so I'll go for...
That's what does OPM stand for?
Original Filipino Music.
Yeah.
So I'll go for You by Basil Valdez.
How does that go? A little sample.
How does it go? Just give me a little
bit. You give me hope, the strength, the will to move on. No one else can make me feel this way, and only you can bring out all the best I can do. I believe you turn the tide and make me feel real good inside.
Yeah. Oh. Apologies for not warning you for that hot fire.
Okay, Lucas, hit us with your go-to.
Well, we're sort of talking about like nostalgia trips and listening to music in the car with parents, and mine is anything by the Irish band U2.
Wow. like how you describe the Irish band.
Have you
U2?
Guys heard
like
of
no
them?
One knows who U2 is.
They're kind of
it's U2.
Yeah, they're a very small,
not very well known
group called U2, and anything off How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb in particular.
Yeah. I think that we were born like in the same year, because I remember when that album came out, and I remember it being a big deal and it being like just when I was kind of starting to get my own taste in music. Mm. And I remember listening to it in the car with my dad and being like, yeah,
it's so good. All killer, no filler. That whole album.
Is it How to Dismantle? And
yeah.
It's like all the Spanish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of...
You guys are too cool. Have you told us yours, James?
Nah, I don't think so.
It's a rap song.
No, it's not, actually. My karaoke song is Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus.
Yeah.
It's a jam. It's a jam.
I'm not disagreeing.
That slaps so hard. Oh my gosh, you're like... When his voice switches up to like when he does like the
sample go.
Nah, I'm not gonna do it. the when I, like when it goes high up and he sings in falsetto, I'm like, yo.
But just everybody can relate to that.
Absolutely. The craziest part of that song is when he's like, her boyfriend's a dick. He brings her, and then like it's censored because it's gun to school.
Yeah.
It's wild.
My gosh.
I say it because I'm a maverick. After Donna, what's yours?
Don't Speak by No Doubt.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wait, how does it go?
How does it go?
How does it go out there?
She's giving me the evils. Just sample conti lang. I mean, a little bit.
Don't speak. So please stop explaining. Don't tell me cause it hurts.
Okay, good, very good. That's
wow.
You need to rewrite this play to make it a musical.
Yeah. There's a lot of music. Like, Queer sings in it. There's a lot of singing in the show.
I tried to, Georgia, but I'm not very musically talented.
And also, Richard doesn't like musicals, so.
Yeah, Richard Green. Richard, we need to sort that out.
We do need to sort that out.
Yeah.
We've had many a debate on air about it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with musicals?
Huh?
What's wrong with musicals?
It's just not his thing.
Beautiful.
You know, my go-to, thanks for asking, guys.
All right, so should we move on?
Guys, puede ba, please. My go-to is If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys.
Oh, oh yeah.
Okay.
No,
my go-to is the hardest song.
No. She would sing this in drama school.
Lucas,
that one go?
I don't know how it goes. No,
what
Lucas,
do you, I don't know how it goes. Yo.
Lucas will tell you how many times I sang this at UniTech. Go, Lucas.
It was a lot. It was a lot of times for every like singing assessment. And Dylan played guitar for you as well.
Dylan Underwood, shout out.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. Go on.
Nah, it's all right. Come see the show and I'll sing it for you.
She won't. Queer Richard will sing lots of songs. There's a lot. There's karaoke in the show.
Yeah. There's people singing in random places that you'll never expect.
My goal with it as a director is to have the audience, as soon as you go in there, in the space, before even actors get in there, to have you go, this is a Filipino show. And one of them is because the lyrics will be projected for the house music, and we'll have all the
And you know what? If you're gonna, I mean, you're definitely gonna come see our show. Feel free to sing along while you're waiting for the show to start.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the whole point of it.
That's why the lyrics are up there. They're not there for just for show. You know, they sounds guide great. You. Yeah,
I'm gonna come in after a couple of craft beers.
Do it. Do it. The Basement Theatre does have a bar. They're very accommodating.
I love the Basement. Are Dude. You're upstairs? Downstairs.
Nah, girl, we're the main stage. Yeah. Just tooting my own horn there.
I heard that the first night had already sold out.
You heard correctly.
One thing, like,
sorry, I don't know. I was just, this is my big moment. It sold out.
Get in there quick.
Get their shit together. Yes.
Up their tickets.
Yeah. I mean, Machu and I did we released a video of us telling people to get their tickets in Tagalog, Reo Māori, and it's subtitled in English. And also, I just wanted to point out, we say that Pinay is, you know, the first Kiwi Filipino bilingual play in Tagalog and English, but because of the amazing Machu Hamuera, it's essentially, like, so close to being trilingual. Because, you know, like, Te Reo Māori and, like, Kapahaka is so big in terms of, like, my personal element of connection to the land, and it's definitely in the script. And having someone like Machu who's, like, embracing all the resonances that I was putting in there, just, like, the words and the richness that Machu has given the character Tane, it's just been so, so amazing. I mean, I was like, oh, my God, this is so much better than I could ever fulfill this character of Tane. And yeah, so yeah, guys, come check out Tagalog, English, and Te Reo Māori show.
If people are not wanting to wait until the end to get the details for ticketing to buy their tickets, if they want to do it right now,
guys, it's online, so you can find us through Basement Theatre or through iTicket.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to go through the Basement Theatre website. And you just book online.
What's the website?
The website is basementtheatre.com.
.co? No, it's .co.nz. .co.nz.
.co.nz. Or we have a little bit.ly. Do people still do shout-outs for bit.ly links?
Yeah, I reckon bit.ly's a bit harder to be like 6/4657.
Hey, wait, I'll try to spell it. It's B-I-T, full stop, L-Y. Call you James, I'm trying to do a plug. B-I-T. Full stop, L-Y, / capital letters, P-I-N-A-Y, 19.
That was a legit, I thought she was just going to make something up.
That's what I heard too. I was like, oh, where's this going? Oh, it's a legit link.
Or, you know, you can...
You just Google Pinay 2019 Auckland Basement Theatre.
That's a really long Google. Just go Basement Theatre Pinay.
Yeah, it'll come up.
Or just follow...
Look, we don't want to talk down to you. You have the internet. It's 2019, all right?
Or follow one of us on Facebook or Instagram. Yeah. It's all, on all of our...
Don't try to get plugs media. For our social media.
So my handle... my handle is AT. No, it's at, right? That's what it's called? At? Never mind. I'm failing miserably at this, Georgia.
No, that's
it's because
right.
She just had that massive Buddha fight food. Yeah. That was in a food coma.
You're doing great.
Thanks, babe. She's my hype girl, honestly.
I just think you're doing great.
Sometimes I do the show without Georgia, and it's just not as good as it can be.
Man, I also feel the same.
See, we just uplift each other.
About yourself. When I'm not here, it's hard.
No, when it's just me, it's not as good without you.
What?
Yeah. Also, Richard.
Real romantic. Oh, yeah, Richard, missing out. Sorry, Richard. We do miss you in the studio.
Yeah, I still, every time I drive into the car park, I'm like...
It's not
him. You, Richard.
I know.
What happened to Richard?
It sounds like
he's not with us anymore.
No, Richard was just out of work for a little while because he had a bit of an accident.
Oh, no.
Ran in front of a car.
Oh.
Well, he didn't run in front of a car. He was walking and the car hit him.
Oh, I hope he's all right.
So he's all right, but he's in recovery mode.
Mm.
Okay.
So we're holding down the fort.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what will really help recovery is a show called Pinay at the Basement Theatre.
He's coming, y'all.
Great.
Okay, a little bit about Pinay. So we are super, super... Oh, this is a good time, actually. We are super, super stoked to be supported by a number of bodies, actually. So He Waka'e Kanoa Charitable Trust, which runs Kick Arts Radio, Ugly Shakespeare Company, also a new art space in Onehunga called Ke Te Aronui, which I'm all over of, so come check us out. It's cheap venues. But yeah, so He Waka'e umbrellaed Pinai. So if it wasn't for He Waka'e and their immense support to my work and to Proud Asian Theatre Company, we wouldn't have been supported by Foundation North, who are the most generous people ever.
Foundation North are awesome.
I know, they rock. Honestly, Foundation North, you rock. And also really stoked to be supported by Unitech. Basement Theatre as always, and we've got Albert Eden Local Board, Howick Local Board, Waitemata Local Board, and amazing. Yeah, and just like the community, everyone's showing up. And
But genuinely, I think I want to shout out Marianne and Nyon and Elisa for getting that together, because I feel like without the hustle, they've hustled that support, and without that, we would not be here.
Well,
I think people don't realize how hard in the arts in general you've got to hustle.
Yeah,
you've just got to like prioritize, you know, your goals.
Yeah,
constantly.
I can't do Tinder, but I can slide into all of the big people's DMs and be like, "How to money? How to?" What to do?
I've been known on my Tinder to advertise shows that I'm like tours.
That's like, totally the only reason I would do it.
Yeah, no, I legit. Like, I've been.
Because
I'm legit on Tinder, but like I've been on Tinder with a band called
Shout Out.
I'm legit, so come find me. You know what I'm saying?
And they're like, you know, and I like have so much fun like on this tour, and we've like been having a really good time. But actually, it's like good as well to do, you know, a little bit of side hustle. I'm like, hey, I'm on tour with Minnie Simmons, and come party with us at Galados on Friday.
Yeah, buy me
and
a
people
drink.
Come. I managed to get 7 individual people along to a show a couple of weeks ago.
That must
ago.
Have been really awkward when y'all had that met up 7 on one date at the concert.
Yeah, now that I've said it live on radio, I don't feel great about it. But at the time, I thought it was hilarious. And you know what? We absolutely packed out that room. It was so hot that someone fainted.
Oh, no.
Can you tell these guys about your theatre tendering idea and how people should do it in Pinai?
Yeah.
Oh, what is this?
It's like the fastest, most efficient way to date someone.
But it's just scouting in the audience?
No. They don't tell the story, James.
Okay, so what happened essentially is a few years ago, this is the idea is that basically you go to a play and you bring a Tinder date, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, are we laughing at the same jokes or not?
Yeah. Because like it started a couple of years ago when I was single and I was reviewing a lot of theatre at that time in my life. And I started just taking Tinder dates. And then I would come into the show and I review the piece of theatre and review the date.
Oh.
That was hilarious.
Did you blog that?
Did I blog it? No, but I could.
Yeah. She talks about it on air.
Yeah, just.
Oh, true.
Yeah, yeah. I do tell people, obviously, that I'm going to do it. Like, legitimately, my Tinder right now says, has been known to review
that's
dates
amazing.
On the radio.
Are you like, oh, the lines in the play were really hollow. Also, the lines from the guy or the person I was dating were also really bad.
It's actually quite good, I think, though, actually, in terms of, like theatre, you get. I find that I have such a kind of raw. Response from theatre, because it's something that's happening right there in front of you, and it's interesting that, you know, the different things that people take from a piece of theatre and how they interpret it and the things that they focus on differently, and there's just so much to talk about. So I think it's way better than going to see a movie or something.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's actually quite a cool way to get to.
You're way
someone.
More present, eh?
Yeah, and also if somebody's wanting to go and see.
Marwin's like, yo, I'm in my
judgment in the performer now.
But if somebody's I think as well, like if someone's wanting to go and see a play, like that's a cool thing. Like,
yeah.
That's, well, for me, like, because I'm.
Well,
really
that's a box ticked, right?
Exactly.
Because, if they were like, ooh, theatre, what is that? You're like, get out.
Exactly, yeah. Like, there was one, I went to a comedy show once with this one guy. And we were, like, not laughing at the same things at all.
Because
it was like a variety show. There was lots of different things. And he was laughing at some things I was finding very offensive.
Oh.
And I was laughing at, and then, like, it was, it was
Where
really,
was it?
Really,
was it at a classic?
Eye-opener. No, it's at the basement.
Oh, the basement, that's so funny.
But that's such a best way to be like, cool, date number two for you, or like, you know what, we're just not on the same wavelength.
Yeah, and actually we'd been on quite a few dates at this point. Like, I was like feeling like this guy's quite cool, and it was like,
you're like plane going up and then just crashing it's good to like during wait, that comedy
make
show.
It or break it.
Because it was like, you learn a lot about, like,
absolutely.
Like, we learned very quickly that he didn't believe that white privilege was a thing, and that I obviously know absolutely in my heart and in my experience of the world that white privilege is a thing.
That's
and
so
it's
funny.
Very real and very important
to
acknowledge
it.
So it was like, as soon as we left that play, it was like, yeah, we're very different. Goodbye.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, that's so funny. Well, it's good to find that out.
Yeah, totally.
Early.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a great way to fill the dates. So if a dude had to hypothetically mirror that strategy, what would you write in that bio?
Asking for a friend.
Not me.
Your phone is out. Are you actually doing this right now?
Yeah. Actually on Tinder right now.
I need a bio, man.
Marlon, put a shirt on.
Your bio should be saying Panay at Basement Theatre.
You
the
should.
13 to
like
the 24th.
Okay. I'm in the show.
Yeah, you should. Okay, you should put that on, but you should also put on like a joke. Separately, and you should put a little dash between the two.
Mm.
Such a pro.
I'm so stuck on these bio things. No, it's so hard.
Nah, it's easy. You just have to think of a formula for it.
Richard, and are you guys just looking at us like we're psychos right now about like talking about Tinder?
No, I met my partner on Tinder.
Oh, were you plugging success. A show?
No, but we have 40 mutual friends, but I don't know him, so I was like, ooh. Who's this?
Who
it is? That's real weird when you have that many mutual friends. And you
know, I know.
Because that usually means, like, because they come up in suggestions. And that means you looked at it and you went, no, thank you. Like,
yeah. No. But carry on with your story.
But okay. Because I saw his back ink, which is really incredible, and I thought it was my artist friend who did it.
Oh, like tat.
Yeah. Yeah, a tattoo. And then he said it's not. And I know he is artist. So, yeah, that's how we connected. I messaged him and he messaged back.
Ooh.
Changes. And then we realized we met before, like 4 years ago.
He's a fame.
Yeah. So, yeah. The rest is history.
Oh. Wow.
Cool, yeah. Were you on Tinder as well?
He just flashed his ring, guys. He's happily married.
He's happily married. But did you meet on Tinder?
No.
Were you high school sweetheart? I think you told me about this.
College sweethearts.
Yeah. Real life Tinder. What's that like?
As partners in dance sport competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Like ballroom.
Yeah, ballroom dance.
Oh,
that is real, like.
Okay. So it started.
Romantic.
It's like very, like, let's all pair up and we're in sync and let's do the tango. Oh. Quite literally.
See, that kind of romance is like
I want that
now.
I want that now. Like, yeah. I want to be in a supermarket and I want to be picking the same rice and someone else is going for it and I'm like, oh my god,
the same rice.
Like, long green.
Like, you know, I don't know. It's just moving into my mind.
We just want our hands to touch on the 1 kg jasmine at the same time.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Isn't that romantic though? And then, you know, and then you're just like, oh, and then, but that doesn't happen ever. It will never happen.
That's very different now.
I know.
It could happen. Just, it's a numbers game. You just have to go to the supermarket 5 times a day.
And touch as much rice as you can. And wait for someone and stalk someone to look like they're about to buy rice and then go, oh, and then just at the same time that they
catch them.
Yeah.
You gotta make your own opportunities.
You're in behind the bag of rice and your hand comes from around the back and you touch it.
I'm really painting a really bad light here. But anyway, let's, Panay, what's the inspiration of the play?
In terms of, like, though, it's really interesting you say that, Kuya, because, like, I don't know, I feel like the charm factor, like, every time I give you a direction, I'm like, can you turn up the charm a little bit? And you're like, okay. Like, you know exactly what it is. You're like, yeah, I'll turn it on. Is that what you want?
I know how to snooze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because there's a saying, ibang magmahal ng mga Pilipino. Filipinos love differently. Hmm. That's how you translate it, right?
I think so.
What is that? I mean, I've never dated a Filipino guy. I'm happy for that to change, guys. But I'm just...
So if there's anyone listening...
Come see Panay. Buy a ticket.
Yeah, come see Panay.
I do know one Filipino who's on Tinder.
Hi.
I'm not on Tinder. Go. Oh! Who am I?
Is that your brother?
Yes. But I was just like, what does that mean? What does it, what, Kuya, Kuya Richard, what does that mean?
I'm not sure about the generation right now, but in our time, actually, it's the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Like courting, diba? Courting, yeah. Serenading. Which you will see in the play, so
especially
come along.
During our time, internet was not that really a trend.
Yeah, come see how real love
unravels.
Even cell phones were not.
Letters. So, writing letters, yes.
Love letters?
Love letters.
Oh, yeah. Where would you put it?
I even proposed using a love letter.
Where did you put it? Did you mail it?
No.
That's a long time. That's 2 weeks.
Hand carry. Yeah.
And then you handed it to her.
Yeah.
Oh, did she know that you were going to propose?
I'm not sure. I think.
Did you ask for the parents' permission?
Not yet.
Wow.
You asked her first, though. You asked her first and then the parents.
There's no point asking for permission if
true.
They don't want to say yes.
That's true. Yeah, it's like doing the groundwork for nothing.
So, old-fashioned way, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's cute.
I'm ready for some old-fashioned ways.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Tinder's so scary, man. Like,
nah, it's not.
Excuse you're a pro, Georgia. Excuse you're a pro. I did Bumble for like 4 months and it was exhausting. It was like extra, it was extra admin in my life.
So the difference between Bumble and Tinder is like Bumble, they attract different people, right? Mm-hmm. So there'll be a mixture of people on both, but for the most part, I think Tinder's more for people who are looking for something casual. Bumble's a bit more serious. Mm. So you get like more kind of older professionals on there, whereas you get like some real gross people.
So I was one of the gross people on Bumble.
No.
There's gross people on both.
There's definitely gross people on both.
Yeah.
But like on Bumble, the main difference is that if you both swipe yes,
the girl has to make the first.
Yeah, the girl gets 24 hours to assume. This is obviously, incredibly heteronormative, but like, if you are like male and a female that are interested in male and females, what? Okay. Then you match, then the woman gets 24 hours to talk to you, and if not, then you expire. And then once if she talks to you within the 24 hours, then the guy gets 24 hours to talk back. And if he doesn't, then you expire.
You expire sounds so serious.
If you both message each other, then you get to talk. But I reckon if people are like seriously looking to like relationship, Bumble's the way to go.
For a relationship. This is such good ground tips because you just don't get this. There's no manual.
No.
You know?
I'm just like, my head's in my hands in my head. I'm just like, I still don't get it, guys.
People love a good game, you know? I'm not into a good game.
Like the mind game situation.
Yeah, I'm not around for, you know, the whole, like, ghosting, hey, I'm not gonna message you for 3 days, so I look keen and stuff. I'm like, just say what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say what I want. And why do things have to be so
That's hard?
Hard
to come by, though, hey? I find. Those just mind games are... They're very there.
They're there, man.
The ghost people, you kind of leave it hanging a bit, you know?
I won't text back because it's been 2 hours. I'm going to mirror that. You know what I mean?
I reckon it's all about just, like, what you put out. And to be, like right from the beginning, just to be like, hey, this is who I am and this is what I'm interested in. And if people start playing games, it's like, yeah, I'm not about that.
That's true. There's a power to that, too.
Be the change you want to see in the dating game.
Can we all just jump on Tinder, even though you've got partners?
Or Grindr.
And just, like, put Panaya in your profiles? That would be great.
I'll never do that. Let my girlfriend.
I'll put...
I'm not falling for your tricks, you devil.
I just want to sell tickets to my show, you know? I'm just saying.
It's really interesting because I think this is very relevant to Panay because the idea of like courting and courtship is and how the differences between the two cultures are is very much in the show.
How you approach love.
Yeah, and how the two cultures kind of... And it's not just cultures, but it's also generations, I think, as well. And how... Because I think there are scenes where we see Alex's parents kind of go through that courtship ritual and how they got together and kind of mirroring that with Alex's courtship with Seth and it's one of the questions that we do ask in the show.
Yes.
So if you're like, I think it really will relate to and will be able to touch multiple generations of Filipinos. Regardless of, do you know what I mean? Like the younger 1.5 gen and also like the older and maybe the parents of the families and stuff will kind of see themselves reflected, which I think for me is the most important thing in it.
Yeah.
Is that we're able to put on the show and provide quality representation for a community that hold very dear to my heart.
Yeah, because I mean like growing up as a Filipino migrant, it's like it's really hard to like navigate your way through life when you don't see yourself be reflected in sort of like everyday norms, like, you know, media, or just like seeing the same face on the at the bus stops or like on the same TV ads, you know. I'm just like, man, do I just not exist? Do I just not count? Am I just not, am I not worth a space, you know, in this, in the context of Aotearoa? And, you know, and we're so proudly waving the diversity, 160, you know, cultures. And it's just like, if we're really going to do that, man, we definitely need the pioneers to provide those specific voices for us to count, like for us to be seen, for us to be heard. And like you were asking before, Georgia, like what inspired me? It's just in a really selfish way, in brief, to briefly put it, it's just I wanted to see myself on stage. I wanted to see other wahine like me who are going through a bit of like an identity question, you know, phase, to be like, oh, that's me, that's exactly where I'm at, that's why I don't understand, that's why I'm so, you know, I'm in between and I don't really know where I am. That's it. And I'm not saying that Panay speaks for every migrant experiences, because it's not. It doesn't speak for everyone's Filipino migrant experiences either, but this is an angle that we've decided to start a conversation with. And it's not us imposing how to live your life or how to be. Yeah,
it's asking a question.
It's a question of how do you carve space for yourself to exist? How do you carve space for you to be acknowledged and appreciated?
Yeah. Because I think I remember growing up, there was always like a disconnect with me going to hospitals and then going to places where there are nurses or caregivers and seeing how many Filipinos there are in those places, and turning on my TV and seeing 1,000 blonde women on Shortland Street be the nurses. I'm like, what the hell? Like, in the history of my time here in New Zealand, in the 20 years that I've been here, there's only been one Filipino character on Shortland Street, and that hospital's supposed to be in Auckland or Ferndale, but fake Auckland. And I'm like, that is wild to me that it's only happened once. And the one time that it happened, they didn't even cast an actual Filipino person to play it. And this is not a slight on that actor who played it, but I think they're like, we are a little bit like the invisible minority within the minority, because like we're the third largest Asian population in New Zealand.
And we're fastest growing.
Yet for some reason, I can count the number on my hand, a number of Filipino people there are in the media. And when I say media, I'm generalizing, but I mean television, like radio,
media.
Like anything in that space. And it's a bit, it's wild, because people have Filipinos in all the where they work, and like, you know, everyone has the person who, and that person in their life, and for some reason it's just not represented.
And it's not at all like, you know, there is that classic stereotype that Filipinos are nurses, Filipinos are architects and all of that stuff.
A little bit true.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was having a conversation with someone as if like it was almost like taking, like, you know, shitting on that stereotype. But I was like, you know what, man? It's a reason it's a stereotype. It's because we're freaking good at it. Like, my mum works in mental health. You know, she's a mental health support worker, and my mum's really good at her job, and I really respect that. And it hurts me that her professionality and her qualification isn't acknowledged or celebrated. Like, you know, like the community who are working so hard in such a human focused work, and it's not, you know, no one recognizes them for that. And it's just like, my auntie is a caregiver, you know, and so many other friends of mine who are Filipinos, their parents are nurses. Middlemore's full of Filipinos, and I'm just like, you know, where are you? And I think this is me saying, yeah, I think this is the show where I just want to say, I see you. You know, I see you. You know, we know you're here, and we know you've been around for a really long time. Like, before I migrated to the Philippines, my auntie was here for like 28 years, you know, like 28 years. And then, and now I've been here for 13 past that. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just so ready to make waves, man. I'm ready.
Well, that's why I find it exciting, is we have people like Marianne and Marwin, who are the children of the generation of Filipinos that migrated here in that boom during that time. And now we're all hitting ages where we're questioning things and challenging things and creating work that has like a like an oomph behind it, you know, mm-hmm. like a and has wants to provoke audiences, and so for me, like I said, this would only have been a fantasy when I first started, and to see like all these young people kind of take the reins and go, fine, you won't give us the thing, we'll make the thing, we'll make you listen, you know, like you know, we'll take control of it.
I think throughout the conversation, I've been writing down the word fold and folding a lot, because you've been talking about it, but kind of in my head what I'm hearing is actually like less of a fold and more of a wave, like, and even like talking about like proudly Asian theatre and the way that you've grown it. 8 years, did you say? 8 years it's been around?
Yeah, I'd say, eight to seven or eight, yeah.
And now like with this play and just this passion that you have, and like it's just been like such a pleasure for the past 85 minutes to be like sitting in the room with you. It's just, there's just this buzz, you can feel it, it's like it's almost tangible, you know, and it just feels as though this is just the start of something. It's just like,
oh, what is of, baby, of we're just journey. Starting.
Yeah,
it's like this big wave. It's exciting.
Yeah, I think so. I that's definitely how I feel. Like, and at the basement this year, and big shout out to the basement, because they're putting it on, and they're being very supportive of it. But this will be their second Filipino work. Centric work in there this year, and then as well in the basement Christmas show, there will be a massive element of the Filipino culture in there as well.
You're like walking
because I'm writing it, but they're really putting it on, and I guess you got to commend that, because that's what you're saying, Marianne, is like people have to allow people to the space to be able to plant themselves and carve their own and voice into that area, you know. So
we all just want to belong, you know. We all just want to belong, and now we're here holding on to each other and just like doing the thing together. Because I couldn't have done it by myself.
But it's also like to share with people, you know, share with Machu and share with Lucas, like, this is how we eat, this is the vibrancy of and the nuance behind everything, to go, you might think we're just nurses, and that's true, but also we're lovers, we fight, we're politically divided, we're all these things, you know, like there's like so much nuance behind that.
And it's working.
Thank you.
Well, because it's the you know, this in itself is proof of that. It's an example of that space being taken, and even like that you sold out your first night already, and and that was like a couple of, like 2 weeks before the show, you know, like, like that doesn't happen everywhere, that happens hardly anywhere. It's like people are, there's a demand for it, people are interested,
and shout out to the people that are showing up to the conversation, you know, because it's absolutely pointless if you guys don't come along. It's for you guys, not just us.
It's for you, except for the guy that Georgia went on a date with. It's not for you. No, it is actually for you, weirdly.
It could be for him in a different kind of a way.
It is for
you.
Maybe
he'll learn something.
It's for you in a broaden your mind kind of a way, you know what I'm saying? But also, your loss. This is, and this next song's for you. Because you know whose heart will go on? George's heart. Don't need you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Hey, I'm just putting on the song for us to go out, because we are actually getting to the end of the show. I can't believe it's already been 90 minutes. It's been so much fun being in here with all of you tonight. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming in. You're really cool people, and I'm really excited to see you play.
We're also really good actors, so check us out.
they're raising the bar.
We've got 50 seconds left. Could you very quickly, within about 30 seconds, tell us where people can get tickets and the dates?
Basementtheatre.co.nz, August 13th till the 24th. Get your tickets now, it will sell out. Bili na rin ticket ngayon na. Thank you.
That's us. The podcast is going to be up 5 minutes after the show, and we'll put a post up tagging the event page tomorrow with a photo. Thanks everybody for listening, and go out there and kick some ass. Kick ass. Love it. Yeah. 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 Yeah.